hope in God. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. This is what the Bible tells us, and we must embrace hope. Hope is one of the greatest things that we can ever have, but it seems like the world is bent on hopelessness. If the world can pitch a game of hopelessness to us and can wrap us in the veil of hopelessness, then it makes us so much easier to subdue. It makes it so much easier for us to go along with imaginations of the world, which would pull us away from the plumb line of God and His holy word, and would help us to embrace the worldly aspects that we see all around us. Sometimes it's difficult to hope in God. And yet God has given us everything we need to embrace a hope. God has revealed in His word the truth. God has revealed in His word His nature. God is the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-good, eternal, necessary, and triune master of heaven and earth. This one God has always existed in perfect communion within Himself, and this one God is not merely a personal being. He is a tri-personal being. He has existed in perfect loving relationship and communion within Himself, for the first person, the Holy Father, can love the second person, Christ the Son, and can love the third person, the Holy Spirit. And the three persons of the triune God can love one another, and it is out of that heartfelt love that creation was born. And creation was good, but the greatest thing that God ever created, mankind, made in His image, therefore endowed with human reason and rationality, used our choice and capacity to choose to rebel rather than to obey. And this caused great separation. The first aspect of hopelessness crept into the world. Since then, mankind has embraced hopelessness time after time, generation after generation. We all have been there. Those of us who know what it is to hope in God, we can remember, as the words of Ephesians tell us, remember that at one time you also were without Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But in Christ Jesus, you, who formerly were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The book of Ephesians also tells us that in Christ you also, having listened to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given to us as a pledge of our inheritance, unto the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. This is the summation of the Christian message. There is a redemption, just as Clay discussed this morning. There is a purchasing back, but make no mistake that we are not purchased back from the devil. We are purchased back from God's own holiness. You see, God is perfect. This triune being who's revealed His very personal name to us so that we can have personal relationship with Him. Yahweh is perfect. And because of that perfection, when we sin, the wage of sin is death. And we are under the result. We are under the repercussions of death. And Yahweh Himself will buy us back from the penalty of sin, the wages of which is death, so that we may live. And there is life forever. And this is the hope that we have. We have all seen despair. We have all seen someone we love die. We've all seen a spouse, a mother, a grandmother, a friend, a loved one die. And we think this sadness results in hopelessness. And yet it is not hopelessness which overcomes us. The Bible tells us very clearly that even though we grieve the sadness of absence that comes through death, that we do not grieve like those without hope. There is a hope for us, for there is reunion for those who are in Christ. And this is the ultimate hope. And Yahweh, God of the universe, has been telegraphing, foretelling, and projecting this hope long before this hope was ever even realized. One of the great valleys in all of Scripture is a conceptual valley known as the Valley of Dry Bones. The Valley of Dry Bones is a sad and desolate and horrible place. The Valley of Dry Bones is a picture that is painted for us by the prophet Ezekiel in chapter 37. If you have your Bibles, by the way, you can turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. We'll start at the bottom half of the chapter today. But if you don't, just listen along to the word of God today. This valley, which is described in vision form by one of the great prophets, describes the state of hopelessness which Israel found itself. Israel, God's chosen people, after all, God is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Jacob, who had his name changed from Jacob to Israel. The God of Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of God, the chosen people of God, into whom we, who are Gentiles, have been grafted in. This holy people, this chosen people, has suffered three catastrophic and disastrous events in its existence that go beyond the normal catastrophe. Catastrophes which take place even this year, back on October 7th, are nothing compared to the Holocaust itself during World War II. The Holocaust is one of these three high points of hopelessness. The other was the exile, and before that, slavery for 400 years under the sandal of the Egyptians. When Yahweh rescued his people from slavery under the bondage of Egypt and brought them into the promised land, it was then the exile, which was the worst thing that had ever happened to Israel since slavery. The exile is when Yahweh himself allowed foreign nations to come and exact wrath and judgment upon his chosen people, because his chosen people had acted foolishly. Remember how they, like all of us, have chosen to walk in disobedience. The same as Eve, the same as Adam. But the type of disobedience that the people of Israel adopted was truly heinous unto God, for it was idolatry. It was worship of foreign gods. And so Yahweh allowed foreign nations under his sovereignty to arise and smash the people of Israel, taking them captive, exiling them from the promised land temporarily, chastising and punishing them, disciplining them so that they would understand that he is Yahweh. It is during this period of exile that Yahweh calls the great prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, the exilic prophet, declares to us the word of the Lord found in chapter 37. The top half of the chapter starts this way. The hand of Yahweh was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of Yahweh and caused me to rest in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them all around, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord Yahweh, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh.' Thus says Lord Yahweh to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you that you may come to life. I will put sinews on you, make flesh come up upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive. And you will know that I am Yahweh." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rumbling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone, and I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says Lord Yahweh, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these who were killed, that they may come to life. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great military force. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you and you will come to life and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken and done it, declares Yahweh. And this miraculous, this divine, this truly inspirational and incredible vision is revealed to us. And we have forecasted for us our own hope. In the midst of what was at that time the greatest sense of hopelessness that anybody in the house of Israel had experienced since the 400 years of slavery at the hands of the Egyptians, now the house of Israel divided, Israel to the north and Judah to the south, the whole house of Israel smashed and broken, exiled, scattered among the nations, desperate, without hope, without God in the world, it seemed, they were given a message of hope. The same prophet who had explained the doom and the reason for the doom and gloom that the house of Israel was currently experiencing had a turn. And Yahweh now told his prophet to prophesy hope, to deliver hope unto the people who seemingly were hopeless. They were under now, slavery at the hands of the Babylonians, the Assyrians to the north, the Babylonians to the south. It was bad, bad news. And Israel felt like there was no hope. And so Ezekiel was brought to a valley filled with bones. Now, this is a very scary and desperate situation indeed. Of course, under Jewish law, burial is very, very precise and very, very important. And so if there is an entire valley strewn with bones, then there is an entire group of people who have not been properly buried. There is an entire group of people who has been slaughtered. And we know that they have been slaughtered, as we will find out later in the text, but now they are described as bones and dry bones. Not just bones, but bones that are dry. That means there is no flesh, there is no sinew, there is no skin upon them. They have been in this valley for a long, long time. Israel has been exiled for a long, long time. There is no life within Israel at this point. There is no hope within Israel. The covenants of promise seem unfulfilled. The citizenship of Israel seems alienated, the same way that we felt when we remember that at one time we were without Christ. Strangers to the citizenship of Israel, alienated from the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is exactly how Israel felt. And so Yahweh himself said, son of man, hinting that there would be a more powerful son of man yet to come. Son of man, can these bones live? But Ezekiel was no fool. He did not fall for the question. He immediately places all authority back to Yahweh. O Lord Yahweh, you know. Don't ask me, for I am merely your servant. You are the one who has all the answers. I will say what you tell me to say. I will do what you tell me to do, and I will live in the goodness that you have for me. For left to my own devices, when I try to live in my own goodness, it is nothing but hopelessness. When I try to live under my own decisions, it is nothing but foolhardy choices. When I try to live under my own provision, all that is provided for me is separation. You know this was exactly the right answer. And so Yahweh commands this man, Ezekiel, to prophesy over these bones. Say to these bones that you will come alive, that sinew will come upon you, that skin will come over you, and that you will have the breath of life breathed into you. And so Ezekiel did. He prophesied. And behold, there was a rumbling. A large sound came, and bone started being attached to bone. And this strange scene where all of these dead bodies, where all of these bones, which were dry, started to form skeletons, and then flesh, and then skin, and then finally, there was still no life in them. And so Yahweh said, now you must prophesy. You must prophesy. Let the word of Yahweh come forth, and now prophesy to the breath. And this is very interesting, because every time in the passage of scripture that we have looked at, every time in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, that the word breath or spirit is used, it is the exact same word. The Hebrew word for breath is the same as the Hebrew word for spirit, and it is the idea of a blown motion. And so as the wind blows forth, as the four winds come, it is the same as the spirit which enters and dwells, the life-giving spirit. Just as God breathed into Adam and made the man which he had formed from the dust of the earth into a living creature, so too now the house of Israel would have life breathed back into them. And so the prophecy becomes something of a prayer. Ezekiel prophesies as the word of the Lord declares, but then he speaks directly to the spirit of Yahweh, whom had taken this man, Ezekiel, to the valley. Now he speaks to the very spirit that had taken him, and he prays the prayer of prophecy. And certainly now all Israel, who once was cut off, now has the spirit of life within them. And the bones come to life, and what stands before Ezekiel is a mighty army of Yahweh, the army of God standing now before him. And Yahweh says, this is to provide hope, for I will call you out of the grave. And when it seems so hopeless that life is lost and there is nothing left for you, I shall call you forth from the grave, and you will be my people, and I will be your God, and I will place my spirit in you, and hope shall be yours. And you will know, declares Yahweh, that I have done it. This is what we need so desperately. Hope. Hope is exactly what Psalm 27, verse 14 tells us to have. Hope in Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. There is no good that can be had by placing hope in your army, or hope in your chariots, or hope in your 401k, or hope in your wealth, or hope in your body. There is no hope that can be had outside of hope in Yahweh. Hope in Yahweh, be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. This is what we must have. We must have hope in Yahweh. And yet so many people in the world do not hope in Yahweh. And we might think, how ridiculous that there could be someone in this world who sees all the bad and yet does not turn to God Almighty. And yet, remember that at one time you were without Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And just as the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 declares, in Christ, you also, after listening to the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. In Christ, now that we are in Christ, we also, after listening to the word of truth, which is the gospel of our salvation, and the gospel is a very, very clear message, and this is the gospel message. Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one, who died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead for our justification, is the Christ of God. He is the Messiah. And having died on the cross for our sins and being raised from the dead for our justification, this Christ and Messiah now stands as Lord over all. And when you place your faith in Jesus of Nazareth and what he did on the cross for you and how he was raised from the dead for you, you receive him not merely as Christ and Messiah and Lord, but now also as Savior. And you, therefore, are transferred from the authority of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. And that transformation happens when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, when you place your faith in him. You must truly believe in your heart that God did this, and you must trust that he will do what he said, and now you are disposed to living for him, and you follow through with that faith and loving obedience. And when this happens, everything changes. For having also believed, this is what happens. You are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The same Holy Spirit that was promised through Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones, the most dead, the most dried out, the most hopeless, received the Holy Spirit and came alive. You, no matter how hopeless, no matter how bad, no matter how separated from God, can receive the Holy Spirit and be alive once more. This is the message of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a pledge of our inheritance. Our inheritance is that we will receive a resurrection body like the Lord Jesus' resurrection body. And this is unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. And this is what the Bible tells us over and over and over again. In the New Testament book of 1 Peter chapter 1, the word says this: blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and unfading, having been kept in heaven for you. This is the resurrection body. This is the hope that we have. 1 Peter 1 continues. Know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your futile conduct inherited from your forefathers. No. That's not how you were bought back. You were redeemed. You were bought back with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but appeared to us in these last times for the sake of you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, his resurrection body, so that your faith and hope are in God. Hope in God. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. The hope that we have is that there is an inheritance for us. And just as the dry bones of Israel were caused to come alive, so too our hopelessness will be rendered untrue, and we will get to come alive also. Well, the New Testament continues to explain the nature of this hope for us. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, we read these words: however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. Remember how Yahweh promised through Ezekiel that the Holy Spirit would be given? That the Holy Spirit would be given to them? Yes, you are not of the flesh, you are of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God dwells in you, but if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you are not in him. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There is hope in Christianity, and the hope is this. This sounds weird to some people who do not understand, but when you die and you're separated from your body and you go to be in the very presence of God, you do not exist with God forever as an incorporeal soul separated from the physical realm. You are only that way until the Lord Jesus returns. And when he returns, you are given a brand new physical body, a literal physical body that will not grow old or die. Now, this sounds too good to be true, and yet this is exactly what the Word of God declares. The type of body that you will receive will not be corrupted by sin, will not be killed by cancer, will not grow old, fat, bald, and eventually die. We are not all young, awesome hockey players who are growing up, and you who are getting stronger and stronger, and your body grows bigger and bigger. You will eventually get to the peak and the plateau, and then it will be downhill for the rest of your life. And either Jesus will come back or you will die. This is the truth. This is the truth. Your parents and your grandparents know this to be so. Look at them. They are different from when they were your age. This will happen, but there is hope because death does not have the last say. I guarantee it. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 42, says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It was sown a corruptible body. It is raised an incorruptible body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Behold," I'll tell you a mystery, "we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must put on the incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this corruptible puts on the incorruptible, and this mortal puts on the immortality, then will come about the word that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting?" The wages of sin is death. When we sin, we are separated from God. This is bad news. Where, oh, death, is your victory? Death is not stronger than Yahweh. Death is not stronger than the Spirit. Sin is not stronger than the Spirit. We know, because the word continues on, "Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, it's true. Remember that at one time, you too were without Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, strangers to the covenant of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And this is the key. In Christ, you also, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's given to us as a pledge of our inheritance, our future resurrection, unto the glory, unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the hope that we have. So how can we grow in hope in this world of seeming hopelessness? We watch the news and it seems hopeless. We look at the stock market and it seems hopeless. We look at our numbers and they seem hopeless. There is hope, though. There is hope. This is what I would love for you to do to embrace the hope that God has for you. First, I'd like you to read Ezekiel chapter 37. It's in the Old Testament. It's right during the exile period. Read Ezekiel 37, not just verses 1 through 14 like we did today. Go ahead and read the whole chapter because it's filled with hope. The whole house of Israel shall be reunited, and the whole house of Israel shall receive the promise. Read Ezekiel 37. And then what I'd like for you to do is memorize Psalm 27, 14. Hope in Yahweh. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Hope in Yahweh. And go ahead and memorize Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. But in Christ, you also, having listened to the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, having also believed, were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's given to us as a pledge of our inheritance unto the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Memorize these words, for they are the gospel message. Then revel in Yahweh's revealed redemption. Revel, be excited, exult, shout out, praise him. Revel in his revealed redemption. He has revealed how we are redeemed. He has not just promised that the dead dry bones will come to life. He has revealed the exact process of redemption. And I stand before you today, a man redeemed. I once was a man of atheist nature. I once was a man who thought all the God stuff was fake. I once was a man who tried to pluck people from youth groups and convince them that this was a waste of time, and I devoted my life to atheism. But then God got a hold of me. And now I have dedicated the rest of my life to showing that this stuff is true. And if there's anyone out there who doubts that this stuff is true, I would love to talk to you about the truthfulness of this revealed redemption. It is reasonable. It is true. And then we who are in Christ live in Yahweh's prophesied hope. Live in Yahweh's prophesied hope. He has prophesied this hope for us, so we must live in it. We must live in it, for there is no other way but to live in the promised Holy Spirit. For if we are led by the Spirit, then we show that we are compelled by Christ, and we are doing the will of the Father. And that is exactly our goal here at Glendale Christian Church, to share the redemption that we have received with those who need a dose of hope in this world filled with hopelessness. Would you stand with me as we pray? Dear Yahweh, we love you. But please do not merely take our word for it. Please see it in our actions. Please see it in our actions today as we read your word, as we memorize your word, as we revel in your redemption, and as we live in your hope. Your hope long prophesied, your hope now realized, your hope that indwells each and every one of us. I know that there shall be reunion for those of us who have lost loved ones in Christ. We will see that loved one again, and we all will receive a resurrection body. Whether we die before you return or whether you return before we die, we will be transformed, and we will receive a new body. And that body will either be purchased back by your redemption, or we will have to pay for the penalty of our sin ourselves. And the wages of sin is separation and death. May it ever be that those we know and those we love would hear the truth which has saved us, so that they too can embrace this hope. Yahweh, we love you, but please don't just take our word for it. Please see it in our actions. This we pray in your perfect name. Amen.